If it's Monday, Paul Smart must be in the house.
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Yes, he is. He's there.
And what a beautiful weekend yet again. A little bit of rain. It was a kind of a perfect rain on Saturday night, the sort that lulls you to sleep.
Man, that rain came down like
the one on Saturday, the one last week.
Was it Saturday? Well, see, I guess over by us, it really came down on Saturday night.
Yeah, it wasn't bad where we were. It was just there was some thunder and a little bit of lightning came down for a short while and then dissipated pretty quickly. Nothing like last week, which really scared a lot of people around here. I mean, the winds in particular kept Columbia County on its on alert throughout Wednesday, after all of Wednesday pretty much. But over in Greene County and Ulster County, Schoharie County, their memories are still fresh from a year ago.
Yeah, that's right. I can imagine.
There were a lot of roads closed. There was a state of emergency over in the Deep Catskills in a number of towns. A lot of people were left without power. But everything's come back at this point. And yeah, the question is just, to see, we're starting to see the dialogue in local town meetings come around to the frequency of these severe weather events on a local level. And it's, we're all just kind of waiting to see when that urgency rises a little bit into a state discussion or a county discussion or moreover onto the federal level. There's a piece in, I think it was in the New Yorker current issue or either New Yorker or Time magazine talking about the infrequency of discussion of anything having to do with climate change these days. I think it was on the networks, it was a total of 9 minutes of discussion of climate change in the past year.
Right. It's almost as though people hit a stop button.
Yeah, but they can talk about the weather. They love talking about the weather, but they don't like putting two and two together.
Yeah, I think it's like the old don't give me any bad news.
Oh, I know. It was on The Guardian, on that wonderful British publication. It was a pretty well-researched piece. It looked at the rest of the world trying to figure out why America does not take climate change seriously.
And we're going to have to address it.
Nevertheless, it was a good weekend. It only sprinkled a little bit on Saturday. The fireworks over in Germantown went on as expected. Of course, they were earlier than expected, too. They were at 7:30 p.m. promptly, which means a lot of people were eating dinner when it suddenly sounded like the house across the street was exploding.
Blown up.
But it was an interesting event. We got down to it. It's put on by the Lions Club, the first ever Hudson Valley Apple Festival. A lot of locals came out. There was really and a lot of kind of the newer population in the area came out. It was interesting watching the two try to elements. Two halves of our current existence up here trying to commingle. The vendors, you could see there's a lot of new agey like stuff. There was a deficit of or a dearth of Apple products. There was one person selling cider and one person selling apples. The big seller was apple flavored soft serve ice cream. There wasn't a whole lot of stuff for kids to do, but there was a nice low-key little soapbox derby event, which was pretty popular.
But, yeah. Well, I understand the Apple industry took a pretty big hit this year, didn't they?
Yeah, it was at that springtime, there was that long thaw and then a late freeze that everybody thought it was going to hit all the fruit trees, but it just hit in particular the apple industry and hit it pretty badly. So that may have been one of the things that we saw being reflected in this weekend. Although there was a lot of people out and about over the weekend, there was another interesting art opening up at this space called CR10 in Linlithgow, of all places. And CR10's a former concrete factory building and very contemporary edgy work, a lot of kind of big names in urban and art fair kind of art listings. available. And the interesting piece of news that came out of that whole opening is the fact that there's yet another contemporary art collection slash museum project that's underway here in Hudson. And it's at a former elementary school, and I'll wait to go into it a little bit more in detail at a later point once the people behind it feel open to discussing it. I mean, similarly, there's a lot of discussion. There's a lot of discussion going on this morning about renovating Union Mills in Catskill, and this is something that's been in the works for about 6 months right now. And there's this whole idea of using the rising cultural identity of Columbia and Greene counties, which is based on its historic identity as home to the Hudson River School of Painting, to kind of build up new industries and kind of think tanks where a number of different startup companies can come into a space and start to cross-pollinate some. And it's sort of what we're seeing happening in Hudson to a certain degree between the antiques business and all the new art galleries opening up, and then they're attracting places like Etsy. You're seeing it farther down the river in Kingston as well, where Uptown Kingston, which is, they're about to do their O Positive Festival, which is a fascinating festival idea that came up where all these artists would do shows and other things, and in exchange for doing the shows and promoting local health practitioners and alternative health, the artists themselves get checkups and
health care. I thought they were going to have to give blood.
No. It's actually a nice kind of giving way of doing things. Talking about also along those lines of that idea of, you know, the role that culture and art is playing in local development. There was a fascinating open community day at the Thomas Cole House over in Catskill yesterday. And who was playing Thomas Cole? The Catskill Village president and current Democratic candidate for the county legislator, Vincent Seeley. And he was doing a great job, too. And that was, they drew a big crowd. Similarly, we hear there was a large crowd at the Greene County Council for the Arts garden party on Saturday. It was one of those big weekends that just drew a lot of people out enjoying themselves.
Yeah, I have noticed of late, from what I've been hearing from all of the, especially some of the people that I interviewed, that there has been some really good crowds. The animation film festival that took place out in Athens went over really big, and the Tri-Village steak roast. So the folks are showing up to these things now.
Yeah, and the big bellwether of the season comes up. It usually takes place over the Columbus Day weekend, but it's expanding. I think it did as well last year and the year before, the annual Arts Walk, which used to be just relegated solely to Hudson, is now expanded to include Chatham as well. And it, you know, the first few times in Chatham, I think maybe last year was the first time it started doing events up there, and in Ghent as well at Art on My. You know, still most of the people came down to Hudson, but that's expanding into a two-weekend thing that starts in this coming weekend. So it'll be interesting to see what the how many people are brought out for the first weekend of this and how that affects the second weekend over Columbus Day weekend.
Ah, all right. So we are looking good on that, to that extent. I guess we don't have any measurement, but it seems to me that our tourism has increased greatly in this area.
Yeah, and it's we're in a day where we love to do, you know, demographic measurement and graphs and polls, et cetera. But you know what really makes a difference on a local level, most of the time, more often, I believe, is that anecdotal measurement that one does as you drive by a place or you hear a bit of news and tie it to the landscape one lives in. It was I was reading this morning on how the armory here is going to be an application is going to be put in for the old Hudson Armory, now owned by the Galvan initiative, and they're going to put in an application for a National Historic Site. And as soon as I saw that, I drive by that each week. I looked at it in a different light, and you know that makes a big difference. Similarly, when there was some official historic interest into that old Dutch building surrounded by the mobile home village over on 966, I think it is, as you come in to into Hudson from Chatham. You know what we're... There's this old Dutch farmhouse back in there.
And oh, yeah, that's right.
We pass it for years.
Yeah.
Everybody passes it. It looks, you know, why is that surrounded by this?
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting historic interest now, and everybody's viewpoint of it shifts a little bit. It's, you know, similarly when that house that it turns out it had hosted Jefferson and other people that's on the corner of 9H and 66 fell in a couple of years ago, and they had just been storing vehicles around it. Suddenly everybody started to miss it and realized, oh, that meant a lot to us.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's usually the way it works, doesn't it?
It is. good news along that front is that Love Apple Farm, which is up in Ghent on Route 9H and is kind of one of the pioneers in terms of taking the whole apple picking idea several steps forward. They have a nice little petting zoo there. They have places for the kids to play. They have a Mexican restaurant. It's a lot of fun. I mean, we all have our favorite places to go picking apples
right.
up here. But Love Apple, you know, was a favorite to return to because it offered something extra for those kids who need a little extra, like my son and your grandchildren and the like.
Yes, they need room.
Yes, room and you know, and swings and
yes.
hopefully not too many toys you have to spend money on. But it turns out that Love Apple, there was a deal finalized a couple weeks ago where it's being bought by Francis Greenberger. And Francis Greenberger is a large real estate owner in the city whose family was one of the, you know, is one of the great... agencies. The Sanford Greenberger Agency handled people from Kafka and Sartre, etc. And they up here, their big project has been Art Oh My in Ghent. So it's interesting that Love Apple will now be in that family, you know, in that embrace. So who knows? Maybe we're going to have, cultural apple picking.
Ah.
But who knows? looking around at some... interesting news here. There's capital improvement projects totaling $7 million are going to be put up before the Ichabod Crane School District, their residents, in a referendum vote in December. And this is according to the Register Star reporting on a recent ICC Board of Education meeting. What's interesting here is that, you know, there is another thing I saw similar in the Daily Mail about how the town of Hunter has received a petition to put another referendum for increased funding for the Haynes Fall Free Library onto their November ballot with a referendum question. And what I'm thinking may be happening here is that yeah, everybody's so worried. We're in budget season. That's the big thing that's going on during October. Besides, you know, while everybody's politicking, trying to get the, you know, the votes, campaigning like crazy,
mm-hmm.
in local towns and on a county level, you know, all those elected officials who are in office are struggling to try to come up with their budgets, their spending plans for 2013. And it's really difficult these days because you've got this 2% mandated 2% property tax cap holding everything down. And everybody I talk to says, you know, basically your mandated expenses, the cost of, you know, workman's compensation, insurance, road repairs, fuel, you know, all these hard costs that go into the running of a town are going up something like 7 between
right.
7 and 15%.
Right.
Meanwhile, you've got you know, the federal government in its cost savings puts everything down to the states. The states throws it down to the counties. The counties toss it down onto the local municipalities and school districts.
Well, there was a lot of people in the last school board elections and the last set of elections on those budgets. A lot of them were able to work their way around the 2%. What do you think is going to happen this year with these prices? I mean,
well,
it is inflation. Things
well,
are going
this
up.
This is why, you know, I mean, it's interesting to watch these elements like a capital improvement project, $7 million worth of capital improvement projects being shifted over to a referendum vote in December when not a lot of people are coming out, or a library vote being added on to the ballot where people don't often pay attention to those little things at the top.
Right, right.
And, you know, either, you know, when you throw something onto a national presidential ballot like that,
oh,
you know, all those people who are, you know, a certain number will just vote no on whatever, and there's a certain number. It's a gamble.
Yeah.
You know, are people feeling optimistic or negative? But I suspect what we're going to be seeing is a lot more of these elements tossed into bonding referendums and finding different ways of pulling the money into, you know, our municipal needs from other areas using other tricks to do it. It's not like the cost of everything goes down or shifts that much. You just have to find different ways of paying for it all.
Yeah, or will you reach that tipping point where some brave politician is going to say, hey, guess what? Taxes are going to happen.
we can't cap. Or, I mean, the gamble, I think, was that they were hoping that at some point you just have to break all the unions and all of those contracts, but you can only cut people's income so far.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's an interesting thing. Other things going on around here, there's they're talking about passing new mass gathering laws out in Greenville and Greene County, and I suspect that's going to go all through that area, and it's a reaction to the growing industry of these large festivals that are moving into the area. Over there, you have Falcon Ridge, and I forget what the other one's name is, the large bluegrass festival over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's something that's going to come into play more and more. And we saw that up on the newsroom today. There's a large piece about what's been going on in Athens.
In Athens over the
noise ordinance.
Yeah, the noise ordinance. I was thinking about that when you brought it up, that as we evolve into having these festivals and shows, there's that clash that comes between the citizens who owned venues where you have music and loud noise, and the citizens who just want to chill out.
Well, it all comes down to that idea of, you know, NIMBY, of not in my backyard.
Exactly.
Or as there's a great new website by the project coming up out of Claverack, of all places, that's, look for it online, that's using the term IMBY, which is kind of the reverse of that for those, in my backyard.
Yeah, in my backyard, right.
Know, which is a more positive spin on that same idea, that we move to a place and we live and inhabit a world, and we learn to see it a certain way, and somebody comes in and suggests a change to it.
That's correct.
You have a difficulty, which is what mm-hmm. we were just talking about earlier, about the whole fight going on up in Chatham, where Price Chopper's looking to move from its existing location mm-hmm. down the road a little bit to Ghent, and they're, you know, I was wondering, why do they keep running into these stumbling blocks in the planning board and other areas where they're applications are constantly being seen as incomplete, and mm-hmm. usually there's real reasons for that, but to have it repeat so often means that there's some community difficulty going on.
Yeah, there is a force in that area that simply does not want them to move because they feel you'll wind up with just another big parking lot where they used to be, and they have a point.
Yeah, it's that's kind of a larger problem that we've never learned to deal with up here. It was mentioned years ago by the writer James Howard Kunstler in his first book, The Geography of Nowhere, how our towns can, you know, rural America, rural New York is a great example of that, is very good at building these simulacrums of urban development around them, which usually means, you know, little, these strip malls by the highway. But then a new business comes in that's a little bit bigger, and they want to build new and fresh. And
that's
so you
correct.
Leave the old strip mall.
Exactly.
And nobody's figured out what to do with it.
Or you build it. You build a mall, and it has one gigantic box store and then several small stores, and the one gigantic box store decides it's going to leave. When they leave, that's it, you know.
Yeah, we've got all these towns that you can see that. I mean, there are still people who can remember when there were Caldors, and Ames was the last big one. I figured Jamesway was there before Ames came through, and now a lot of them are being filled by Dollar Generals and all the various variations on that. But those dollar stores don't stay forever.
No.
Although it's hard to tell because they're always saying they have a clearance sale.
Yeah.
and it's getting rarer to find anything that actually costs a dollar in the place. Everything you buy, I mean, you know this from having grandkids. You go, it's a good place when they really have to have a gift. You give them a dollar, they spend
That's
an
correct.
Hour searching around. They buy something, they bring it home, and it's broken
and
right
it's
away.
Right. They break it. In the car on the way home.
Yeah, or you got the worst we got recently was a dollar pool table. And everything's under the couch and, you know, sucked up.
My warning to all parents, do not buy the kazoo, okay?
Yeah.
Because it won't break. And it won't break, and you'll wind up breaking it, I assure you.
A look out there. Here was an interesting thing that came. This came up kind of out of happenstance. I was at, I'm a soccer parent now. So I'm at a soccer practice. It's darkening. All the parents are sitting there as their kids are running around in circles around traffic cones, bouncing balls off their heads. And somebody brings up this new requirement in the Catskill School District, which I didn't know about, which requires, it's 10 hours of volunteer community service for every student from grade 6 up. And, high school students must complete a minimum of 40 hours of community service to graduate and participate in commencement services. And everybody was surprised about this because they first heard about it in their school calendars. And most people don't read the school calendar beyond looking to see what days are half days or not. Or, when are the teacher conferences and when do we have to show up at the school or when do we get holiday? So it's around the soccer field, there was a lot of complaints about this because how are we going to fit this into what's already a complicated schedule? On the other hand, talking to my wife about it last night, it's the idea of community service is a great thing and can mean a lot. Where the problem lies right now is that a lot of people are feeling like this is sprung on them, and that's because we've lost our manner. We've lost our forum for discussing these things. They find out about it in a school calendar, and it feels like a surprise.
Right, exactly.
They don't really go to their school board meetings. They don't read the newspaper. There's no place where everybody turns to. One place where the community can kind of hear itself speaking. And it's something that has gotten lost in the last 10 years. In fact, longer than that. Today's the anniversary of the first launching of a consumer internet service back in 1979. This was a little thing I found. In 1979, CompuServe launched the first consumer internet service,
right,
which featured the very first public electronic mail or email service. That's not a long period of time, but email and the internet is great in terms of everybody being in contact with each other in very short sentences, or not even sentences, you know. Hi, okay, yeah, you know, little smiley face. But when you take away the community paper that everybody reads, you know, first thing that was lost was the you know, the coffee shop or the saloon, the whatever, mm-hmm. where people hang out and exchange news. And you lose that in steps, it becomes difficult. Although, that's our struggle here at WGXC.
That's correct. I was thinking that as you were talking. That's what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, but, you know, so that just an interesting thing. It'll be, you know, it's also, I wonder, with something like community service, that's the sort of area that you can't just do. It's nice to do it on a grassroots level, community by community, but only if that community is speaking with each other and cognizant of what it's doing, and
right.
not just somebody's plan within that community. Otherwise, it has to come on a larger level, and you can't do that on a county level anymore. You can sort of do it on a state level, and you can definitely do it on a national level with a call for community service and saying this is being backed up in your local school districts. Like this, like that, like this, like that. So maybe this is something, again, like climate change, that might come up in the debates that we're going to be seeing on a national level in the coming weeks.
I'm not going to hold out a lot of faith.
Nope, don't hold your breath on it. But just for some finals, for some good news of what's going on, there's you know, reports out there from the State Labor Department that on how things are going on the private sector employment in the private sector employment picture, and it shows that overall in the Hudson Valley jobs went up 1.4%, not a huge amount, and most of that's driven by Putnam, Rockland, Westchester County to the south. Greene County had a 1% hike in terms of the number of jobs available there. Dutchess Orange had only a 0.3% rise. In Columbia County, actually saw a 0.6% loss in the number of jobs. And the job areas that's driving these figures are education and health services are up 5,000. This is out of 10,700 new jobs altogether, followed by professional and business services up 3,700, trade, transportation, and utilities up 3,500. Actually, it looks like we're getting over the amount that they said our jobs rose by. But leisure and hospitality has been much slower than it had been. And then information and financial activities are just a very small part of what's going on. Where the job losses are continuing to occur are in construction and working with natural resources is losing quite a bit, and manufacturing is losing quite a bit. In fact, once you see all the figures with the losses versus the rise, then they all start to make sense. Countering that, also the government sector is just continuing to shed jobs as
there's some 600,000 public sector jobs have been laid off in
good
the last
thing,
2 years.
Huh?
Yeah, right. that ought to bring the unemployment rate down, I'll tell you.
Yep. on the other hand, real estate in the Hudson Valley has also, there was a big report that's just come out last week from Pattern for Progress, which is a large think tank based down in Orange County that looks at the entirety of the Hudson Valley. Most they were looking at real estate price softening and the number of sales, and they said things were continuing to dip overall, but there was a substantial rise in Ulster County of almost 10% in both costs and number of houses selling, and also in Columbia County, you know, it was about 7%. What the report suggests is that on a longer trend, what's happening is that the population up here is aging at a greater rate than the rest of the nation. That and that as that happens, you're going to see a shift from the need for single family homes and homes that are kind of in the country, away from communities, and a greater need for rentals and apartments and community living. So there's going to be a major shift in our housing needs up here in the Hudson Valley. Which
I'll stay in the country, thank you.
Yes. And I'll stay in the town. And so I bet you there's a story in all of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there is.
those are the kind of the big things. And as I said, you know, there's yet another Glencadia dog camp. Thing came up last week. There's another public hearing on reviewing the noise complaints over there. Go to the Register Star, read about it. It's one of those issues that just keeps on going.
It is now going into its third year, I believe.
Yep.
I believe. I'm pretty sure.
And there's some real legal issues in the way it was handled, but it's also just kind of endemic of these NIMBY-IMBY problems that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, it kind of links to the same thing with the with the restaurant in Athens. It's the same thing. The community, group of people see it one way, and the other group see it another way.
I know, and it's it used to be that everybody would come in. You know, there are still certain communities up here where everybody comes into the town and they can agree on things because they share. You know, they have a school that really pulls everybody together.
Right.
You know, whereas a lot of communities now, a lot of the people in that community don't have anything to do with the school.
Right.
So that gets lost. There are places that have fairs or other events. And, you know, Hudson's sort of pulled together by the fabric of its celebratory nature.
Mm-hmm.
Chatham, they gripe well together.
That's correct.
Yeah. You know, Catskill is looking for that point of center at this point still. So, you know, it's something that we all, over a period of time need to really look at what makes our communities click.
Exactly.
In terms of birthdays, Blind Lemon Jefferson, born years ago. My Linda McCartney, who I wouldn't call her a... I don't know if she's more famous musically
or
photography, but as a muse and as somebody kind of who changed the idea of the rock and roll wife.
Right, exactly.
Just she's a very important figure. Sheila McRae, who played Alice Cramden on The Honeymooners for years. I mean, there's a kind of an epical voice in figure, and it turns out she was married to the great musical comedy singer Gordon McRae for many years, and was as good a singer as him, which you just never saw in The Honeymooners when she was Ralph.
Ah, but I love The Honeymooners.
And then I see you have up the same person I had.
That's right.
Which is a very important figure who lived in Socrates quite a bit.
He did live in Socrates?
Yeah, he's got a house there as you drive along. It's a kind of fantastic place. But Mr. Jim Henson.
Yes, anyone who has had children has had to listen to this. Jim Henson.
Yep, and he's a true New Yorker. One of the great... items up at the State Museum is the original set from the first season of Sesame Street is up there, and it's invariably even if your kid's at that age where he goes, oh, that's baby stuff, he's going to sit down and watch it. And Jim Henson just had a way of kind of changing the way we see the world.
I was telling the audience this morning, I don't think you could name an A-list a movie star or entertainer that has not made an appearance on Sesame Street. I doubt it.
Nope.
As a whole, it's if you go down the line, you see where this one popped in and was there with the with the
did
Sesame
they let,
Street.
Did
game.
They let Mr. Dynamite James Brown on Sesame Street?
Maybe, you know what? I'll bet you he was.
Yeah.
Sure. I'll bet you he was. I doubt if it's so few people that. Didn't make it to
Leonard
Sesame
Cohen.
Street.
Leonard Cohen was not on Sesame Street. But I bet you he wanted to be.
Yeah, but I bet you he wanted to be.
Yeah. Well, that's the wrap up for the this week. It's by next week we're going to start to see preliminary budgets and the like, and it's going to be that's where the emphasis is going to be on is how are our local towns looking to be spending for the coming year, and what are they looking to cut, or how are they going to make this balance? Are they going to pull from their reserve funds? What are the rabbits are going to pull out of the hat?
Right, exactly. Exactly. I'm still looking for the tipping point, and how many days am I away? Relieved of the lawn signs? About 40. 30 more days?
Yeah, but you haven't really seen the lawn signs yet, so you still got a couple weeks before they really start to come out.
I can't handle it. I can't handle it. Thanks, Paul. We're